The Pain Pod is produced by Bloodstream Media and made possible thanks to our sponsor, Tremo Pharmaceuticals. Visit ResetHAstudy.com to learn more about their work.
Today is the last full week of senior year.
Seniors rule!
Go Pandas!
You better keep in touch.
I'll never forget you.
These are the best years of our lives.
Woo!
And for some, today is crucial because it represents the culmination of the past 4 years. From the first awkward freshman homecoming pep rally to an unforgettable night at senior prom. Many will cherish these memories and look back and think, wow, that was really the time of our lives. But how could I possibly handle school on a day like this? This is my 9th sick day this semester, and it's getting pretty tough keeping up with all the work. If I go for 10, I'm probably going to have to retake European socialism. But who needs that anyway? As Ferris Bueller says, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. But the truth is, I've been stuck here looking around, and let me tell you, for someone like me who has chronic pain, it ain't all that it's cracked up to be. Because of chronic pain, I've missed a lot these last 4 years. But I hope that the next few years will be better than before. Hi, I'm Mel Forrest, and you're listening to The Pain Pod. I've been the host for The Pain Pod since season 2, and a fan before that. And I know chronic pain can affect anyone. But as much as I hate admitting it, I sometimes find myself associating chronic pain with aging. It's hard to imagine a child experiencing persistent and gnawing discomfort. Common misconceptions about kids bouncing back from injury or pain easily come into play, not to mention the fear of pain defining a person at such a young age. Because you know I love a good quote, I'll leave you with this one from the excellent teen movie, The Breakfast Club. You see us as you want to see us, in the simplest terms, in the most convenient definitions. But the truth is, children feel pain, and sometimes that pain becomes chronic. Last season, we talked with the expert Dr. Lonnie Zeltzer and caregiver Donna Sullivan about how pediatric pain manifests and what parents and caregivers can do to help. In this episode, we've decided to continue that conversation about pediatric pain, but this time, we hear stories from young adults about their own experience with chronic childhood pain. They share the ups and downs of growing up with pain and the things that keep them moving forward. By listening and amplifying these stories, we can break down our preconceived notions and common misconceptions surrounding chronic pain, especially in children. So with that, I'll stop talking and let you hear their stories. This is Growing Pains 2.
I missed a lot. Like, I missed homecoming dance that year because I was in so much pain, I couldn't even leave my bed. I'm Michaela Sullivan. I'm 23 years old.
This is Michaela Sullivan. Earlier, I referenced our caregiver, Donna Sullivan, from season 2.
My name is Donna Sullivan. I am a mom of 3 amazing kids living with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome and complex pain.
And you may have guessed it already, but Michaela is Donna's daughter.
I have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome and POTS. I have chronic pain from a spinal fusion. I've had 5 back surgeries. I have my day-to-day EDS pain, so shoulder, hip, ribs. But I feel like I have gotten better at managing it.
Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, also known as EDS, is an inherited disorder that mainly affects the skin, joints, and blood vessels. And symptoms include overly flexible joints or skin that is elastic and bruises easily. Postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, or POTS, and my new favorite tongue twister, is a blood circulation disorder that can sometimes cause fainting due to the reduced blood volume that occurs when standing up. Michaela shares how her own journey began.
So I would say for me, growing up, I kind of always had these like weird little things that no one really knew what it was. I would, like, my knees would hurt or my feet would hurt. I was on crutches at one point and they couldn't really figure out like what happened. They were like, well, you only like jumped from a normal level. That shouldn't have happened. So little things like that. And then I was diagnosed with scoliosis. I was probably like 10, I want to say. And the pain got worse as my scoliosis progressed because it was like pushing on my lungs. And then after my first surgery.
Here, Michaela is talking about spinal fusion surgery for scoliosis, which is a surgery that realigns and fuses together the curved vertebrae so that they can heal into a single solid bone.
I was kind of told that this should be the fix. Like, obviously, it'll be a painful recovery, but they said that I should feel better within like 4 months and then 6 months, 8 months, and it kind of just never got better.
An issue many with chronic pain know too well.
So I had to keep going in. They had to revise the fusion a few times because they had only done half of it. And then the top of my spine kind of collapsed over the bottom.
Ouch.
Yeah. And so they knew that something was different. After my first surgery, my surgeon came out and was like, her collagen is very loose. Looks like osteogenesis imperfecta.
Also known as brittle bone disease.
Which I didn't have any of the other clinical markers for. So it was kind of a mystery for a little bit. As a kid, I was very active. I did softball, basketball, all these things that kind of kept my muscles strong and kept my joints in place. As I was on bed rest for the scoliosis surgery, which I had to get, that was something that I couldn't avoid. It kind of allowed everything else to fall apart. So my knees, my shoulders, my hips, all that stuff, I started having pain. And I think there definitely was a point, probably around the second spinal fusion, that I realized this is like a more permanent thing, my pain.
I don't mean to interrupt you. Michaela, I would talk about your tethered cord because another update is Dr. Klinger just published the connection between Ehlers-Danlos syndrome and tethered cord.
Tethered spinal cord syndrome is a neurological disorder caused by tissue attachments that limit the movement of the spinal cord. It is also another kind of rare comorbid condition of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Oh, and that's Donna, who, like any supportive parent, was also present during our interview.
After my second fusion, I was like still having issues. And then my late junior, early senior year of high school, I started falling down the stairs, like bladder incontinence, all of these issues that really crept up pretty quickly. I would get like leg spasms uncontrollably. I was wheelchair bound. So that was very scary psychologically, but also physically. I'm like, I don't know how this is going to progress.
That would be scary for anyone, let alone a teenager in their final years of high school. But with the help of her medical team and support from her family, Michaela soon had some answers.
I went to Dr. Klinger and she figured out that I had tethered cord.
It must be noted that there is still limited awareness surrounding tethered cord syndrome. Surgery can be seen as controversial due to the complexity of the condition, and many feel that there's an absence of clinical outcome data to provide adequate guidance. So the decision to have yet another surgery after her multiple spinal fusions wasn't an easy one for Michaela.
I kind of was just like, okay, well, I don't want to be like falling downstairs. I don't want to be like constantly like peeing my pants. I'm like, I'm in high school. This isn't what I want. So I kind of knew that it was something that needed to happen. But of course, it's like you're going in for spinal surgery and this felt more real and more risky because it was like spinal cord versus just the scoliosis. And the night before I was like, I don't know why I did this. I'm like, I'm going to watch an episode of Grey's Anatomy. And the episode I happened to watch had a tethered cord surgery. And so I just started panicking. I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, that's what they're going to do. And then I go on YouTube and I started watching. And I thought that that would help in the moment. And I think it kind of did, understanding what I was going in for. But it definitely like ignited like a last minute panic. But I feel like overall, I knew what needed to be done. And I had to just trust Dr. Klinger, who's brilliant. And she's so compassionate and just a wonderful doctor. So she did the surgery and it quickly reversed everything. Like it was like almost like magic. Like 3 weeks after my surgery, I was walking. I was out driving. Like it was, I felt like a normal teenager again.
We talk more about the effects of pediatric chronic pain on daily life and ways to keep moving forward when we return after this brief word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Patrick. Chronic pain can be caused by many things, but if you're like me and have severe hemophilia, chances are some of your pain might be the result of what's called hemophilic arthropathy, or HA for short. Tremo was founded with the goal of developing and delivering non-opioid pain therapies for people living with pain. Tremo's RESET-HA study is a clinical research study for people who experience joint pain due to hemophilia. The study's evaluating an oral, non-opioid, investigational drug designed to be taken once a day to see if it may potentially help relieve joint pain and improve physical function in people with hemophilic arthropathy. You may be eligible to participate in this clinical research study if you are between the ages of 12 and 75, have been diagnosed with hemophilia A or B, have chronic pain in one or more joints, and do not take opioid medication more than 4 days a week. If you are interested in learning more about taking part in Tremo's RESET-HA study, visit resethastudy.com. That's RESETHASTUDY.com to find a study location near you. Reset the way you manage your pain. Visit resethastudy.com today.
Remember when Miley sprayed milk out of her nose at the pit?
I can't believe we won states!
Who's your freshman buddy?
Did you see that fantastic dance?
That senior prank was so funny. You should have been there.
High school is a time to learn, grow, and make unforgettable memories. But for someone like Michaela Sullivan, who has chronic pain caused by chronic illness, these memories can seem a bit blurry. Sure, high school is different for everyone. I mean, I didn't want to go every day, but these milestones and ongoing social interactions are essential for a person's growth and mental well-being. Michaela shares some of the frustrations she encountered due to her pain.
I remember so vividly, I really wanted to go to the Patriots Super Bowl parade. And this was when I was like very severe. And so my friends helped me. We brought the wheelchair and it wasn't how I wanted to do it. And it worked. I still had fun. I was in a lot of pain after, but it was little things like that. I had to definitely make like adaptations. I missed a lot. Like I missed homecoming dance that year. My friends, they did Friendsgiving. I missed that because I was in so much pain. I couldn't even leave my bed. So stuff like that was hard.
It really can be. But Michaela shares how her support system and community helped during this time.
I'm lucky enough that I grew up in a house that I'm very adaptable. I kind of took what was coming at me and relied on my family a lot and was able to push through it. I had such a great group of friends who would always come to me and they would always keep me posted. And so I think that that's what's most important. Like even if you are missing out on things, that's terrible. And it's hard, especially when you're a teenager, like that's hard enough. But having a community around me definitely helped me keep some of my interests and keep my mental health okay, even though my physical health wasn't.
Having a great support system, whether it be an excellent medical team, family members, or friends, can be essential for a person's physical and mental well-being. Still, I was curious to know if anything helped push Michaela forward.
I wrote a lot. It kind of started. I remember when I was in one of the like rehabilitation hospitals, I had this like little laptop and I would keep notes. I would write like backstories for all like the doctors and different people that I met, just like funny little like caricatures. And so I definitely kept myself entertained with writing.
Writing can be a form of therapeutic healing. Things like art therapy and creative pursuits can allow many, especially children, to cope with strong emotions, build self-worth, and decrease anxiety and stress. All things that can help pain. Here to speak on this is Laura Cavanaugh, a lead research assistant at Creative Healing for Youth in Pain, or CHIP.
CHIP helps connect youth with chronic pain with other youth with chronic pain, and they also really advocate for increasing the accessibility of creative healing, particularly online. In terms of creative healing, I mean mind, body, it's something you want to think of. Really anything that a kid really enjoys and gets lost in is something that can be considered creative healing.
Laura briefly explains some of the science behind creative healing.
Essentially, the science behind creative healing is that in neurobiology, we have these terms fire together, wire together. And that in terms of neurons that form a circuit and fire together, they're going to wire together. And then we have use it, or lose it, which is essentially if those neurons don't fire as frequently and that circuit doesn't get used, your brain's going to take over that space for something else. And so what creative healing does is chronic pain for youth is centralized in the brain. It's not really something that is necessarily in the body as much. And so essentially there's this sticky neural loop in the brain. So it's this pain circuit that's firing over and over again. And we talk about how kids with chronic pain tend to be really smart. And so if they have any sort of painful experience, that circuit firing even one time might become a pain circuit. And so these kids who learn really fast, all of a sudden they have maybe a disadvantage to that fast learning where they get that sticky neural loop where that neural loop keeps firing and they keep experiencing pain. And so with creative healing, essentially what happens is let's create new circuits that aren't painful in terms of, can I cook? Can I do art? Can I do art therapy? Can I do yoga? And let's create new circuits so that that old sticky neural loop that causes the pain doesn't have to fire as much, and then you don't use it as much and you lose it.
These hobbies, interests, or creative healing outlets that we pick up can also inspire and open up our world to new opportunities or pursuits. Michaela shares how writing now influences her future.
My dream is to write like a screenplay or a TV series or something. And something that I've noticed about, like, I would watch TV and they would have like the show like Red Band Society or Speechless. And I kind of want to make something similar or tell stories in a similar way, but put it as this character has this condition, but there's so much more. It's just a side note. It's not the main plot, not the theme. Because that's kind of how I feel. I've struggled with making my condition and my pain my identity. It's easy enough to just be like, okay, well, this has shifted my life. This is who I am now. But I'm like, no, I have so many interests. I do so much. I work. I have friends, family, and I just happen to have chronic pain and be chronically ill. So telling stories like that, I think, is important to people who are newly diagnosed or just getting into this world to see that it doesn't have to be all-consuming. And there are points where it will be. That's unfortunately inevitable, but you just kind of have to push through and readapt your life around it.
It's important to remember that you have worth and are more than your pain. As I finished my conversation with Michaela, I was curious to know where she was in her pain journey today.
For a while, I was like, okay, maybe I can get back down to a zero. Eventually, I realized that that's not possible. But now I always say, I'm like, okay, like a three or four is my new zero. So as like strange as it sounds, I'm like, oh, like my pain's only a three today. This is a beautiful, wonderful day.
So as you move on to the next part of your life, whatever that may look like, remember that the experiences you've had and the people you have met have helped shape the person you are today. And you don't need to be defined by one thing. Each of us is a brain, an athlete, a goofball, an artist, a friend, and so much more. So keep being you, despite the pain. And know this.
You still get to have your life. You don't have to worry about the future being affected by your pain.
30 minutes out of your week is probably going to be really, really helpful in connecting for the relationship.
We talk relationships, intimacy, and chronic pain next time on The Pain Pod. The Pain Pod is written and hosted by me, Mel Forrest, produced by Keith Korneluk, edited by Jose Miguel Baez, artwork by Ryan Gielen and Christina Newhard, post-production support from Joshua Sterling Bragg, Rob Bradford, Allison Stoney, and Avra Friedman, and executive produced by Patrick James Lynch. The Pain Pod is produced by Bloodstream Media and presented by Tremo Pharmaceuticals. Tremo's Reset HA study is a clinical research study for people who experience joint pain due to hemophilia. And you can learn more about it by visiting resethastudy.com. And as always, if you like this episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and share The Pain Pod. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Mel Forrest, and we'll be back next time with episode 4 of The Pain Pod.